My apologies to Lynx, which is what's playing right now underneath me. This is a track called Band of Brothers off of their album. And I don't, you know, I just kind of scrambled to get to this because I have something that's kind of more important happening here. So let me just hold on. Let me just get to this and we will play this. Great, great. There we go. There's music for you. So, remember when I said I'd have to cut into a song in order to do something I wanted to do? Well, here we are. We are at that point right now. On the line with me right now, I have a fine gentleman who has been on this show and spoken with me on many occasions. You might know him from such things as Unburnt, Sam Scaris, Bernay PR, and of course, what we'll be discussing today, Derelict. I will let him intro himself so that, you know, you can put a voice to a name. So tell the people who he is and what you do's in Derelict if they forgot from many years ago.
Well, hi, Andrew. This is Eric from Derelict. I'm the vocalist and also guitar player, one of them, in a tech death band called Derelict.
It has been a long time since we've chatted. How are you? I think the last time we talked was for Samscaris, I think.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah, I'm doing good, man. Didn't expect to be putting out another Derelict album and doing all this stuff again, but here we are, so quite happy to do that and to see that there's still some of the folks like you who are supporting us in the past are still around.
I mean, there's still a bunch of us weirdos left who are doing this. Well, let me start off. You've now been asked this twice already, but I love to start off structures in my interviews and start off the same way. What's a question you don't want to be asked or you're tired of answering, since I imagine you've been doing some interviews now, and I won't direct it to you. You won't have to think about it.
A question I don't want to be asked. People keep asking us if we're going to do shows. And I really wish I could say yes, but we all live in different parts of the world. And unless someone offers us a huge amount of money to fly everybody somewhere to do a huge festival, then we can't.
This is a very rare instance, because normally I don't have a question that someone doesn't want to be asked on my list. And this time you've broken the streak, my friend, because that was something I was going to ask you about.
Nice. You know what? It's not like a terrible question. I think it's a very natural question to ask. I'm just sad that people keep, like, I realize that people would love to see us live, and we would if we all lived in the same city, but we're literally in four different time zones now and doing different things with our lives.
Well, let's get into this interview and find out about this. Derelict versus Entropy is the record. Is it safe to say that with the release of this now, 12 years later, you've won this round versus Entropy?
Yeah, man. We resisted the inevitable decay of all things one more time and got some music out into the world.
What was kind of... I know you mentioned that all of you are kind of in different cities. What was it kind of like to write and record this? Did you do most of the heavy lifting and then other people kind of threw things in? Or what was kind of the process like?
Well, so the process was very similar to what we've done in the past. So when we were a live band back in the day, we still did a lot of our writing and collaborating through file sharing. So we use Guitar Pro to compose. So obviously we compose on our instruments, but then we kind of tab out and program the instruments as we go. And then we would always share that stuff with each other by Dropbox so that other people can, you know, learn the songs, but also make edits and stuff. And this was sort of refined in 2021 when we got back together to do a single called Clear Cut. So Max and I really worked completely collaboratively on that song. That was literally like, he had a riff, I added a riff. He added another one, I added another one. We edited it, we went. So then when we started doing the album, this album, we just kept doing the same thing. But we were already kind of working that way prior to this. Like in the past, we always did that because we felt, I don't know if other musicians feel this way, but, you know, I think some genres, like perhaps if you played blues or something, like, you know, sitting down in a room and hashing it out in person is supernatural. Mm-hmm. But for tech death, it's the stuff is so precise that, like, trying to teach it to somebody in the limited time you have in a practice space is really hard. So we always sort of did this anyway so that people could do, like, the rehearsing and learning work on their own. So we just kind of expanded that approach, and it worked really well.
So you're, like, ahead of the COVID, we have to share things over on the internet type of process.
Yeah, we are. We were, and I mean, even back in, I think Derelict, we always did this. Like, even back going to 2005, like, we had stuff in tabbed out, and we would learn it before showing up to the jam space. So that was, yeah, it's always been our way.
Now, you mentioned Clear Cut, and I actually was going to bring that up, that, you know, this is the first, Versus Entropy is the first record you've done in 12 years, but Clear Cut you actually put out in 2022.
Yeah.
And the song is basically about the struggle of the Wet'suwet'en about the coastal gas link and trying to kind of protest that.
Yeah.
What is there a particular reason why that kind of sparked you after 10 years, I guess, to kind of get something out for people?
Yeah, well, so the reason for putting out this song came before the topic itself. Mm. So essentially, I was chatting with Max. We're close friends. We've always kept in touch, even when Derelict wasn't a thing anymore. And I think I was asking him something like, hey, or he was asking me, I don't know, hey, are you playing much guitar lately, blah, blah, blah. Conversations going, and then he ends up saying, oh, well, I actually have a riff that really sounds like Derelict. And I'm like, send it over. And it really did. And then we ended up writing the song, and we said, you know what? What if we, like, on a lark, put out a single for the 10-year anniversary of our last album? Oh. And so we reached out to Jordan and Seb, who were the other guys on the recording lineup of Perpetuation, and everybody was on board, so we just did it. When we were working on the lyrics, I hadn't written a Derelict song in a while, and my stuff on Samskaris and on Burnt was less political and more emotional. So I was like, okay, time to go back to the political lyrics. And at the time, I was following the Wet'suwet'en struggle pretty closely. And I had just seen the, like, I mean, infamous video now of, like, the protesters, the land defenders and water protectors, they were in sort of like a shelter they had made, and the RCMP, like, chainsawed through the door and, like, pulled them out at gunpoint, and there's just a bunch of peaceful men and women, like, in there. And I thought, this is insane. So the lyrics sort of came out of that, but immediately I was thinking, well, I'm a white person. I'm you know, what we would call a settler in this context. Mm-hmm. There's no way I'm going to use any imagery or ideas from their struggle without speaking to them. So we ended up getting in contact with a music project that was raising money for their legal fees. And they were able to put us in touch with them and some of the people on the front lines of those protests. So we were able to send our lyrics and the idea behind the song and the artwork, and we got it all approved by them. They were like, yes, we stand behind this. Like, so we felt good about that, and we were able to put out a song that is about that, but it's also sort of about, you know, Canada in general, which I guess, you know, Canada Day being tomorrow, it's a nice thing to talk about how the country is basically a resource extraction project that takes people's land.
It is sort of interesting that you tell me how you think about this, because I remember Derelict being a very kind of politically expressive band. And it feels like that you have returned to the well after 10 years, and you're basically still writing songs about the same things from the same angle. Does it feel refreshing to come back to and be like, things are still terrible in the same ways, kind of, so I can write songs about it? Or is it ultimately very depressing? I would think it's kind of depressing, but maybe there is some sort of a catharsis that comes with that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's cathartic in the sense that, you know, music is primarily an emotional expression. Mm-hmm. It just so happens that a lot of the emotions that I feel have to do with world issues, a lot of the, you know, the dread and the anger and the fear that I experience, which, you know, those are big emotions that death metal kind of usually exploits. A lot of that stuff comes from, you know, political things going on in the world, systemic issues. I kind of wear it as a badge of pride, too, because I remember when I was younger, I'm 39 now, and when I was in my early 20s and, you know, raging against these things, you know, remember people saying, everybody becomes more conservative as they get older and blah, blah, blah. And I didn't really go that direction. I became, I think, more informed about the issues that interest me. I can kind of hone in on it a little bit more. I can, you know, be more specific, more in depth about it. And I think it's important, like, to show people that, like, you don't have to, you know, you can be a functioning member of society but still have strong opinions and express yourself and stand behind causes that are important to you. So, you know, I'm just glad that the other members of the band have always been okay with that kind of thing. And everybody was on board when we did that move with Clear Cut, so that was good.
It is interesting because I too have gone up. I'm told that I'm apparently a far left person now. I don't really think that that's true, but people told me as well, like, oh, don't worry, these stupid ideas you have about, you know, people being treated well and trying to get rid of systemic issues, they'll go away as you get older and you just give up. And that has not been the case, in fact. And I will not shut up about them if given the opportunity. So it is something with, like, us of this particular age range. Although I do know a bunch of dumb people who for some reason are like, who would see something like those, like that video you mentioned, and be like, well, shouldn't be getting in the way of progress or whatever nonsense they might say.
Right.
So
yeah, no, I hear you on that, and I think that as well. There's a song that on the new album called Infinite Dread, which is sort of about the social media algorithms and what that does to our mental health, but also about what it does to our perception of reality. And I think that, like, a lot of people have just been, you know, have fallen down the wrong, I mean, I guess I would consider them the wrong pipelines, right? And they get sucked into certain information loops. And I mean, we all do, right? Like, I don't know if you've ever tried this, but if you just, like, log out of your accounts and then go on, like, YouTube or Reddit or whatever, you'll suddenly see completely different stuff than what you're normally seeing. And I think that, like, I don't think it's too much to say that the way these things are working now is kind of a huge threat to democracy.
Yeah.
Because all you need to do is be interested, you know, in hearing. You might even be doing it out of morbid curiosity. You might say, like, oh, I want to hear what one of these far right people in France or in the States is saying, and then you watch one video and then suddenly it starts creeping into your life and your algorithm, and before you know it, you're like, oh, I'm gonna vote for Trump because somehow that seems like a good idea now.
It's wild, right? Like, it's crazy to think that that's where we are, that because remember, I remember our, I don't know if your parents told you this, but mine told me, oh, you can't believe everything you see, insert place here, listening on the radio, watching TV, wherever. And it seems like many people didn't take that lesson at all to mean anything.
I know.
And it's very concerning. here on Canada Day, where we're supposed to be patriotic, I'm very concerned about the entire world, but you know, also where I live, because let's talk about something a little bit less depressing. Let's talk about kind of the state of metal right now, because you're coming back into it. I know you're not, you know, diving full in, because, you know, you're, it feels like, you know, without doing shows and things, it allows you to kind of step back a bit and kind of observe it from the outside. What has kind of been the largest change you've seen since dropping out and coming back?
I don't know. I think one of the big things that I've been noticing in the last couple of years is the approach to vocals that a lot of younger singers are taking in death metal. And I can't say that I'm going to sound like the old guy, but I don't love what some of what's going on. I think that a lot of the newer death metal, you know, deathcore has a big influence over this. I think a lot of these singers are really, really good. But I think they're falling into the trap that a lot of us have at some point, whether it's through music or through how we dress or how we, you know, want to be perceived. They want to sound a certain way. They want to be like, I'm going to want to be monstrous. I want to be huge. I want to be, you know, and they're going in and, like, you know, multi-layering their vocals to the point where, I don't know, a lot of the deathcore bands, I find the singers, unfortunately, are a little interchangeable to my ears. Mm. And I think that's mainly because instead of just being themselves and, like, singing the way their voice sounds, they're like, okay, I'm going to layer this 4-8 times with, like, multiple, you know, I'm going to sing it low 4 times and then add 2 screams panned over the top and blah, blah. That I find is a little cookie cutter to me. And then when you listen to more of the old school bands, you can, even within death metal, which people often criticize us, both of us, for being like, it's noise and blah, blah, blah. I feel like a lot of us more old school bands, you can really tell who the singer is and their individual style. That I would say is like one of the bigger changes that I don't like. But what I do like, what's been going on, is I find that the younger generation doesn't really care about genre so much anymore.
Yeah.
The bands are just doing whatever, and there's less of a, like, oh, if you like gent, you're not allowed to like black metal or some shit. Like, that was kind of like that when I was first in the scene. Like, you know, we were tech death people, so we were supposed to, you know, we were supposed to like really complicated music and, like, you know, thumb our nose at like breakdowns and stuff, which is just ridiculous. So I admire the younger generations for opening it up more and mixing everything up.
Well, there is something new that it's rare that I get to ask a band about something that's unique that I haven't asked them before, but I do get to pose it to you. I read that you did a Bandcamp album stream and a band chat for this record. What was that like? What was kind of the turnout for it?
It was cool. There wasn't like a ton of people, but it was like an intimate sort of gathering. We kind of expected it to be mostly our friends and family, to be honest, but there was people popping in. Like, one of the first guys coming to chat was like, hello from Spain. And I was like, oh, this is amazing. Like, international fans showing up. It was really cool, honestly, especially for me. I live in Sydney, Nova Scotia now, so I'm quite far from my family and like my friend group. So having people and not being able to do a live album launch and stuff like that, it kind of robs us a little bit of the in-person celebration of the work that we put in over 2 years, right?
Yeah.
So this was a really cool opportunity to do that and to just be like, hey, let's hang out, let's listen to it together. And it was fun. I honestly, it went by really fast. The thing I don't like about those things that I didn't know in advance, you don't, like, even the artists, like, we don't have a control over the player.
Oh,
so, like, say you put you put the event for, like, whatever, 8 p.m. At 8 p.m.,
it starts.
It just plays.
Oh. well, that's not that helpful, actually.
Yeah, it just kind of goes. And then I was thinking, oh, well, maybe we'll play it, take a 10-minute break. If people showed up late, we can just run through it a second time, or we can even play, you know, an older album and keep chatting with people. But no, it just plays and then it's over. So good thing to know for the future.
There you go, everyone. Hot tip from Derelict. Still teaching the youth out there what to do. Well, you said you're not going to be doing live shows. Do you think that kind of the way that, obviously, you've been doing kind of the trading system for a while for songs. Do you think that post-pandemic, that is kind of now a more acceptable, I guess, method of doing things? Because beforehand, it was more, as you said, bands get in a room, they hash everything out, and that's kind of that. Now it seems to be way more of, well, we're going to get things, we're going to trade them online. Do you think that that's more acceptable now, I guess is the phrase for it?
I don't know. My hot take, Andrew, is that, like, and this is going to sound incredibly arrogant.
Okay.
I think it's more professional.
Oh, interesting.
What I mean by that is, think about, let's go outside of metal for a second. If you like play for a symphony orchestra, mm-hmm. and you're a professional cello player, you don't show up to symphony being like, so what are the songs, guys? No, you are given sheet music, you rehearse it, and you show up ready to play. What happens at the rehearsals is a refinement, right? It's,
yeah.
Oh, okay, this needs to be this way, and blah, blah, blah. Tightening everything up, getting used to playing with the other musicians. But there's a preparatory aspect. I cannot fault anyone who would rather do all of that in person. A lot of people, like, you know, playing in a band is also like their relaxation and their social life. And it's like, let's go to the jam space for like 6 hours on a Saturday with a case of beer and hammer out some songs and have fun and whatever. That's cool, man. I respect that. But for me, it's always been like, listen, guys, like, if we're doing music at a serious level, let's take it seriously. Let's have the music ready. Let's rehearse it in advance. And then when you talk about hashing it out in person, like, for a live band, it goes way beyond just working, you know, knowing the songs. It's like, okay, let's tighten up. Are we playing to a click? Are we not? What are the count-ins like? What are the breaks between songs? Like, there's so much work to be done there that to me, it's like, show up with the songs already learned. And for writing too, I mean, you can do a lot of extra work in person, but if you've learned all the parts already, you're so ahead. And honestly, whether that's acceptable or not to people, I don't care. It's what has always worked for us. And I think, like, there's you know, when you look at the world of professional musicians, of like symphony players and even jazz musicians and stuff, like, I think they would agree. They would say, like, of course you learn.
Yeah.
Of course you learn the pieces before you show up, right?
That is true. I mean, that is kind of the thing for session musicians. And if you're trying out for a band, you don't just go and go, all right, I'm going to learn the songs here. You get them beforehand and you play it. So that is weirdly, it's a hot take, but also not a hot take at the same time. That's you've done quite a feat here, I've got to say.
Well, think about it this way, okay? It also really depends on genre.
Yeah.
I can absolutely sit down with a bunch of people and like work things out when you're playing like folk music or something. I mean, some folk music is very complicated, but you know, it's like, okay, guys, there's two different chord progressions. Here they are. Let's, you know, cycle that up. But stuff like classical music and technical death metal, there's no improvisational room in a lot of the compositions, unless you're just like working on a solo. It's so precise, and you can't, you know, sitting there and explaining to somebody like, oh, this is a riff in 13/8 and you're going to do this and this and this. It's like, no, learn this at home and then we'll hang out and we'll beat it all into one big thing together after.
And I guess I just have, since I know that you're not, normally this would be the part where I, you know, ask bands like, you know, how, where can people see you next? You've already answered that right off the top, which is very convenient. But I guess what that leaves me here is, what does that leave your other kind of musical projects, like Samskaris, which I know you're working on outside of Derelict? Are you going to now, you think, revisit that? And has it kind of lit the musical spark back in you?
Maybe. So recently, like, we finished recording the album a few months back. We recorded the vocals for Versus Entropy in January and early February. Mm-hmm. I think, oh, maybe it was all in February, I'm not sure. But we did that and took a bit of a break after that, and then the spark sort of relit as the album was like getting finished, and Max and I both started writing more music. And so here's the way I looked at it. I wrote a song almost complete. I mean, I'm always open to having my bandmates change the song, but I wrote a song and I sent it to Max and I said, hey, I really like this one. Don't know if it's Derelict. I think it should be, but if ever it's not, maybe I just started a Samskaris record. I don't know. It ended up that he said, oh, that's a great Derelict song, and we're writing that way. But I feel like it's sort of, I don't know, fate will decide it, right? We'll write music. Max also has his own project. He hasn't released anything yet, but he has a lot of music written. That's called The Prosopis. And so if either of us come up with music that doesn't fit for Derelict, it goes for our other projects. So it's sort of like, we'll see, and we'll, like, whatever really, the most important is that it be an authentic expression.
Right.
And whatever project can sort of be the vehicle for that, then it will be.
All right. Well, I'm going to play something to end off the show here from the latest record. What do you think I should play for people? I've already played Workhorse from here. So what do you think is kind of the best kind of standout track that'll show people what this record is about?
Well, I think Workhorse probably gave them a really good idea. And there, we did talk quite a bit about like some dark political negative stuff. So I'm going to suggest we take it in a different direction. I'm going to suggest you play the song Spectrum, which is sort of about diverse masculinity, embracing, you know, who you are as a person, supporting other men in their mental health. It's a very positive song, and that's also what our lyrics are about. Although we can often focus on that political dark stuff, it's also about like, hey, like, we're humans. Let's treat each other well. Let's like have love in the forefront of our lives. So yeah, why don't we do that?
Sounds good. I'm excited for someone to get onto this and talk about, you know, how you've gone woke and all of those things, as if that's not been the case the whole time.
Can't wait.
Well, stay on the line, and we will chat after this. El, for all the rest of you, here is some Derelict with Spectrum off of Versus Entropy. I will catch you all next week. Keep it locked. CJLO 1690 AM. Thank you for joining me, Eric.
Hey, thank you, Andrew.
No problem. And for all of you, catch you next week.